Certainly, you know, we find a comfort level at home. I think our fan base is one of the big reasons why they're so supportive of our group. I know our whole team, our whole organization are so appreciative of the fan support that we get.
If you have a team that's got momentum and a team that's got desperation, for me anyway, the scarier team is the one that's got desperation. 2-2 series right now, I'm not sure where it lies. They still have home ice. Desperation should probably still fall on our side.
Two coaches who made history when this Stanley Cup final got underway, 2 months ago? Mike Sullivan and Peter Laviolette. It's not going to end tonight, and we're going to have to wait a little while longer, even after tonight. Game 6 would be played not on Saturday.
Nope, Sunday night.
And Game 7 would be played next Wednesday. Melnick in the afternoon, hour number 3, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. We're with you until 7 o'clock. Alouettes football in Toronto against the Argonauts right here on TSN 690. But right now, let's go to Pittsburgh.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Voted called Montreal's best sandwich in Montreal 3rd year in a row. Thanks, Montreal. You gotta love a Dagwoods sandwich.
But at least you're all able to watch it on the full NBC network with Doc Emmerich, Eddie Olczyk, and Pierre Maguire. How are you?
Excellent, Mitch. Good afternoon to you.
All right. What do you think? What do you think? Do you agree with Peter Laviolette because they're the road team? There's a little more desperation to Nashville?
There's one word that I don't like in hockey, desperation, because when you're desperate, you're out of control. I much prefer the term urgency. If he'd use that term, I think it would be a lot better. Desperation means you're out of control, that you're really not in charge of the moment. And so that's one thing that I'm not a big fan of, is when people say desperate, desperate, desperate. It means you're in trouble. They're not in trouble. They're in a good spot. So I think urgency would be a better way to phrase it. But I do appreciate what he's saying. And one of the things I appreciate the most is that they understand if they're going to win the cup, they got to break through once on the road. So the message should be, what about tonight? Why not tonight? Let's do it tonight. Because they know they got to break through on the road if they're going to win the cup.
And what about what you heard there from Mike Sullivan? The entire city of Pittsburgh watched what went down in Nashville. It's very hard to replicate that, but kind of like an appeal to, okay, whatever you got left in those lungs of yours, try to at least come close to matching what you saw in Pittsburgh, in Nashville.
Well, I think they will. Walking over to the rink today, I can tell you there was a massive amount of people already lined up outside, and I usually get to the rink around 2:30, quarter to 3 for an 8 o'clock start. So I can tell you there were a bunch of people already there. There's a lot more energy and enthusiasm. We talked about the U2 concert yesterday. There are a ton of people in town. They came for the concert last night. They're here for the hockey game tonight. And then Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers actually play here tomorrow. So there are a lot of people here for 3 events in 3 nights. So there's a lot of energy around the city for sure.
You're more of a Tom Petty fan than a U2 fan, I bet.
No. I like Jason Aldean.
Jason Aldean. That's why Pierre loves hanging out in Nashville.
That's true.
Among the reasons he helps contribute to the whole scene in the and Legends. How much do you spend at Legends on a typical night where you're not working? What would you say you drop in Legends?
Oh, I don't know. It's not expensive. Probably 25. If I'm here with somebody else, probably $25 to $30. That's not terrible.
That's it. Good. No, NBC doesn't pick it up. Doesn't NBC pick this
stuff
up?
No, I don't do that.
You don't do that.
Not when I'm going out on my own for entertainment purposes. No.
If you end up talking, how does this work? If you end up talking to somebody in hockey and you gather information, is that not a legitimate expense?
The only people I've ever been there in that place with it from hockey, Chicago Blackhawks, for whatever reason, whenever I go to Nashville, usually Chicago is there. And so their coaches are around, and I usually go hang out with them for, you know, an hour or two, and then back to the hotel.
Oh, okay. So where do they go?
Tell you the truth.
Yeah, where do they? So where do they go?
They go to Legends.
No, the other guys.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. Doc doesn't really go out, and Eddie likes to do the horse racing stuff.
Oh, so right. Oh, this is a big weekend for Eddie Olczyk, right?
Yeah. He's got the Belmont Stakes. It would have been better, obviously, if there would have been a Triple Crown run, but there won't be. So it takes a little bit of the varnish off.
Pierre Maguire on site in Pittsburgh, Game 5 tonight on NBC at 8 o'clock. Rod?
Talking about the crowds and that kind of effect, Pierre. Since 2009, in the Stanley Cup Final Series, home teams 37-16. So that's about 70% of the time. The rest of the playoffs since 09, home team wins about 55% of the time. So in the Stanley Cup, I understand generally you have the two best teams in the league. But is it the crowd noise? Is it the pressure? What brings out the best in the home team in the Stanley Cup final generally?
Usually it's the enthusiasm around the team, in the city, around the building, the pressure that's brought to bear. The other guys come in, the visitors come in, and they're battling not just, you know, the elements of a game, but they're also battling the crowd, and it's not easy. That's one of the things that really stood out about Pittsburgh being in Nashville, Rob. Just, it was really tough for the Penguins to handle the moment. For whatever reason, it's better or bigger than anything they've ever gone through as a team. They played a Game 7 in 09, a lot of them, against Detroit and Detroit. And Detroit's a great hockey town, but it didn't have the same kind of energy. Last year, Game 6 in San Jose didn't have the same energy. You go for Games 3 and 4 in Nashville, ask anybody that was there, it rocked your world. It just blew you out of the water. So that's where I think it's just a little bit different. And being on the road is not easy in the final. It's really difficult.
I know that Matt's excited to play tonight, and he certainly has had success here at home, and we're hoping that we have our best game in front of him.
There you go. No issue either way from Pekka Rinne after being down 0-2 as if he wasn't going to start Game 3. No issue with Matt Murray not starting after losing Game 4.
See, when we have all these extra days in a series, it leads people to create some unbelievably silly stuff.
Yeah.
For instance, Christopher Letang's coming back. I was asked about it 2 days ago on Toronto radio. I was incredulous. I'm like, who's reporting that? That's not even close to being true. And and then the rumors about Matt Murray's not going to start. It's going to be Marc-Andre Fleury. No, it's not. So I think when we have extra time in series, it's amazing how people's imagination can wander.
Yeah. Now, is Christopher Letang skating? Is that what led people to think that he might come back and play?
Well, I don't know where he's skating. I know he's working out. I get to the rink pretty early in the morning. I haven't seen him, so if he's skating, he's doing it somewhere else surreptitiously. I couldn't tell you.
All right, Connor Sheary, you expect to see him alongside Crosby tonight?
A lot of speculation on that. That wouldn't surprise me because Sheary doesn't just play well with Crosby. He plays really well with Gensel, and they've got to try to create more pace in the neutral zone as a team. I think that's one thing that can help create that pace for Crosby, for Gensel, and for Sheary. They're all really quick. And they need to find a way to put more pressure on Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi. Those guys are starting to take over, especially in Nashville where they get the last change. I don't think it'll be as easy for them. Phil Housley's going to have a lot of scrutiny in terms of what he does with the matchups on the road. It's not easy. And Sullivan's very well aware of what they're trying to do. So watch for that to be an element in game number 5.
Boy, it gets to the point when you've never won a cup. How many years did Phil Housley play?
Oh, he was there a long time. You know, I started in 1980, I think. So
yeah,
look at how long he played. I mean, phenomenal career.
You start to taste it, right, at this stage?
Well, you really, the one thing I could tell you, and this is what I remember, it's funny that you would bring it up because we're in Pittsburgh. And in 91, Joe Malosh is a dear friend. He was an amazing, amazing teammate. He was a really good working partner, but more than anything, he was an awesome goalie. He really was. He just got stuck on some really bad teams, especially out in California early on in the infancy of the franchise. But I remember when we won in Minnesota in 91, Joe was crying on the bench as it was counting down. You know, we won game 6-8-0, so we blew him out. The outcome was never in doubt. But he was crying, and I said, you all right? He goes, I can't believe I'm about to hold the Stanley Cup. And I think there comes a moment when you're into it and you're that close to it where you're like, oh, my gosh, this is really going to happen. And when it happens, it's a surreal, I can tell you, whether people want to hear this or not. I mean, there are a lot of special moments in your life, your children being born, maybe graduating from college, maybe getting a chance to play pro hockey, all that stuff. But when you get a chance to touch the Stanley Cup, I'm telling you, it's an amazing, amazing thing that very few people ever get to experience.
Yeah, I never did. You know, I could have. No, but you know what I mean. I could have.
I do.
But it's not my right to touch it. I didn't compete for it. And maybe some people may view it as silly. I think it's the most beautiful trophy in sports.
Well, no, you're not silly. You have a sense and flair for tradition. You know, it's interesting. in 2005, after the nuclear winter of hockey, NBC got the rights to the NHL on NBC. And we did a promotion down in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, which is a Penguins farm team. And Sam Flood, John Davidson, Doc Emmerich, and myself drove down from Manhattan to Wilkes-Barre to spend the day there doing a photo shoot. And the Stanley Cup was there. Doc, you know, obviously had been part of the Devils, and they had won, so he was not afraid. It wasn't a foreign concept for him to touch the cup. John Davidson came close in 79 with the Rangers against Montreal, but didn't get it done. He refused to touch the cup, even for the photo shoot. So the only people that touched it were Doc and I.
How about that?
I'm telling you, and he really was serious about it because they were egging him on. You got to touch it. You got to touch it. You got to pick it up. He's like, not a chance. I will not touch that thing. It was unbelievable to watch him go through that process.
So players universally tell us they live in the moment and absolutely focused, if it's in the game, on the next shift. I mean, realistically, do they ever have time to contemplate what could be in front of them? You're talking about the Stanley Cup here.
I like the way you phrased that, Rod. I ask players when it gets close to the deciding moment in a cup final, do you allow yourself to think what it would be like? Most of them say I do not. I don't know if that's true or not. I could tell you, I'll never forget the morning, the first cup, the 91 cup, walking to the rink in Minnesota with the late Bob Johnson and Scotty Bowman. And Scotty looking over at both of us as we walked from the Marriott Hotel to the old rink in Bloomington, Minnesota. He said, the good news for us tonight, men, Mario Lemieux chartering a plane to bring his family in. He's going to play a heck of a game six. I think that'll put us over the top. Well, we scored on the first shift, an Ulf Samuelsson point shot, and we never looked back. But that morning, walking to the rink, Scotty knew, just because he knew he had one special guy that could really elevate, and he had a little secret that he was flying his family in on a private plane. It was amazing. I'll never forget that discussion. And Bob Johnson was all excited. He was rubbing his hands and rubbing his cheeks. He was all pumped up.
You know, you were talking about Gilles Meloche breaking down there emotionally a couple of minutes ago. You know who? Mike Peluso on the bench. Remember playing for the Devils and Jacques Lemaire?
Devils. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
He was sobbing uncontrollably as time ticked off the clock.
That was a crash line, if you remember. It was Peluso, Holík, and Randy McKay.
Right.
They called them the crash line, and those guys created mayhem. And nobody wanted to go near the puck when they were on the ice. I mean, they were a lethal combination. That was the fourth line for the New Jersey Devils. Randy McKay, Bobby Holík, who was a first-round pick, and Mike Peluso, who was a gigantic human on it. So, yeah, no, I remember that clear as day, what you're bringing up. Yes.
But what time for an 8 o'clock start, what time do they hit the ice for warm-up?
Tonight I think it's 7:35. I think somewhere along the lines there. 7:35.
So yeah. I have any feeling at all about Nick Bonino?
I have no feeling at all. I wish I did. The fact that they had an extra day, I think that helps them. But I don't really have a feeling he would be an important ingredient to put in. Something must be wrong though, because Tommy Kunackle's been skating a lot. He was a really good player with Winter in the Ontario Hockey League. I know when he was drafted by Ray Shiro, Randy Sexton, and Jay Heinbuck, they had really high hopes for him. And last year, I thought he was a very important player for them, especially as a depth player. He can play wing, he can play center, he can kill penalties, and he can skate. So I'm a little surprised, unless his injury is worse than we know, I'm a little surprised he hasn't been put in the lineup yet for Pittsburgh because of the Bonino injury.
Kind of weird with the Bonino injury, Pierre, because he has been practicing in spots, but he's also wearing a walking boot when he's not on the ice.
If you go back and look at the tape, and I've had a chance to do it, Mitch Gell will go look at the tape and where he got that puck, and the fact that he finished the game in game number two, pretty horrific. There's no padding there, and that was absolutely launched when he blocked that shot. You got to think it's a pretty significant injury, whether it's, you know, a broken bone or a chipped bone or a severe bone bruise, or maybe he just can't handle having the skates on for a long period of time, but clearly it's something that's affecting the lower part of his body.
On the bench, when a player would be hit in the foot with a shot, would you guys tell the player not to take off his skate?
Yeah, and the trainer would—that's exactly what the trainer would tell him: don't take the skate off, just keep it on; it'll keep the swelling down. And that's one of the reasons why I think Nicky's wearing that walking cast or walking boot, is to keep the swelling down.
Very interesting tweet from our friend Matt Cassavant, who works up the street. And,
Denny's son. What a nice young man he is. Yeah, what a nice young man. I had a chance to visit with him during, I think, one of the Canadiens games. And, wow, just a really, really nice young man.
4 hours ago, Subban most time versus a forward in each playoff round. Taze, Tarasenko, Getzlaff, Malkin. None have scored 5-on-5 while Subban has been on the ice.
I think we brought that up before the series started. You can ask the star players from Chicago, the star players from St. Louis, and the star players from Anaheim how easy it is to play against Subban and Ekholm. Ask them. And that's why when people going into the series, oh, they're going to get a lot of time against Crosby. I'm like, no, there are very few tandems that can match up on Malkin. And the reason why they can match up on Malkin, Crosby is a different type of player. He's a bull in a china shop kind of player. Evgeny Malkin is long, he's strong, and he can dominate board play like very few players in the league. Subban's got the strength to play against him, and Ekholm's got the skating ability to match up and the reach and the size to match up. That's why I thought that tandem would play there. But that's a great job by young Castleman, because that's absolutely true.
So here are the three other guys, not PK.
We've been, as you're saying, we've been in this position before, and especially in Anaheim. That was the tough building to come back to, and with the heavy series that was, and the guys showed up in a big way, and we got that big win out of that building, and hopefully we can get the same feeling tonight with knowing we all know the magnitude of the game, and there's a lot of big time players in here that are embracing the big moments and want to step up.
For us, this group's been finding a way to get things done. At the key times, and I think we're going to need that effort again. The guys are going to need to step up, play their game, and we've been comfortable in this series as far as playing our game, but tonight, I mean, it's just another big test for us.
It's a big game. It's game five, so I think both teams are going to be desperate. And, yeah, I mean, we will be for sure. We're ready to go, and we're all excited to play tonight.
Ekholm, Ellis, and Josi. Pierre, what are you feeling? What kind of game are we going to see tonight?
Well, Pittsburgh wants to play much quicker than they played down in Nashville. Now, they were very quick, I thought, at points in game number four. I mean, look at the breakaway opportunities, chances off the rush that they created. So I would say to watch for Pittsburgh to try to really open it up early. I think Nashville wants to get real physical and get after, again, the defense of the Pittsburgh Penguins, whether that's Austin Watson getting physical, Colton Sissons getting physical, Mike Fisher getting physical. I mean, even Philip Forsberg, I don't know how much you saw of him.
Yeah, he's got a streak in him. He's got
a nasty piece of business.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that. I didn't know he had that much of it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Mitch. I think it's by, I don't want to say he was shamed into it, but I think when you see some of the other guys and what they're going through, as a player on the bench, you're going, you know what? I got to kind of engage too. Now, one thing I would tell you about him, he will be a player that can take games over. I don't think it's going to happen the rest of this year, but I think going forward, he's got a chance to be one of the marquee names in the league. He's that good a player.
We can hold on to the puck and, create some offensive zone time and force him to play defense. I think that's probably, our best way to handle it.
Further to Sidney Crosby and the Penguins and their game plan to try to pressure those incredibly talented four main guys on the blue line. And as you said yesterday, the key now that they're back on home ice, Pierre, is to try to get Crosby and Malkin out there as often as possible when the third pairing is out there.
Yeah, when Yannick Weber and Matt Irwin are on. You know, it's interesting. If you go back and look at the time on ice through the first two games, both Irwin and Weber were right around 8 to 10 minutes. And if you go look at games 3 and 4, both those guys were up over 12 minutes. So that means on home ice, they can hide them more because they get last change. Where on the road, they can't hide them as much, so they don't get to play as much. And that's something they really – that's why I said there'll be some serious scrutiny on Phil Housley. He's got a chance to really prove to people that he knows what he's doing. It's going to be interesting to see how they play this because I know Pittsburgh will be looking for that third tandem and overloading on them whenever they can.
Pierre McGuire from Pittsburgh. Look forward to watching you guys again tonight, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Thanks as always, Pierre.
I'll be in Nashville tomorrow, Mitch. Friday in Nashville.
Lucky man. Say hi to the gang and Legends for me.
I will.
He's probably going into Legends when he gets in there tonight after the game.
No, I'm not going until tomorrow morning.
Oh,
I got to go through Atlanta. I'm going tomorrow morning early, though.
Yeah, no direct flights to Nashville, huh?
Well, there are, but just not an airline that I like being on, so I'll stay with my old Delta.
All right. It's another one to keep. Thanks, Pierre.
See you later. Yeah.
I think at this point in the series, I think both teams are pretty desperate. They understand, where we're at and the situation. So, I would expect both teams to be pretty desperate.
I don't know. Is that worth a Heineken on a Delta flight? Is that worth a couple of Heinekens?
It must be.
I hope Mr. Delta's listening.
Wow. I can't.